Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by PillPack, a full-service pharmacy that combines personalized service, convenient packaging, and modern technology to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/hamnation. By ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 221 for November 4th, 2015. Dr. Tamitha Scove, live.
Hello, everybody. It's K9EID, Bob Heil. And we're in the plant in Fairview Heights tonight where we build microphones. And I'm in front of the part of the booth that they're getting ready to take to the NAMM show. And so here I am. And I also, in homage to Carrie Underwood, she's on your television right now at the CMAs using this very special microphone that that the guys built for. It's a black fin, and it's lighting up. And so I'll be happy to go home and see what she's doing because Sarah's recording it. So all you folks in the Mountain Western can catch it because I think it's an hour later, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But go back and watch the replay. We have an incredible show tonight. Really, really good show. George is back. George has his internet fixed. We're so happy. Don is still fiddling with his camera, and he's got Tamitha with him. But, oh, boy, we got a lot going on tonight. And Brian's back. Gordo, how you doing? Is it warm? Is it cold? What you doing down there?
Nope. Weather is as usual in California, Bob, so all is good. We'll see in a few.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, it's really warm here in the Midwest. And Don, what about the camera? Is this working or not? What are you doing?
Oh, I don't know. Logitech is supposed to be replacing my camera, and I decided to plug it into the MacBook and see if it would work, and it came up, so I plugged it back in the Windows machine, and it came up, and so I said, well, let's try it, and then it failed, and so mad dash to get back on the internal camera on the MacBook. But anyway, we're on the MacBook until Logitech sends me a new one, which they're supposed to be doing. And weather-wise, we're in between rainy weekends here right now. It's been beautiful the last couple of days, but it's supposed to be rainy again Saturday and Sunday and Friday, just in time for a huge, huge high school football game that my son's ROTC is going to be participating in. So we'll probably get wet Friday night. And then supposed to be a car show on Saturday and with a street fair. And I don't know if that's going to happen. But nonetheless, we'll be here to try to endure it all. We had a tornado on the ground, actually, not too far from our house last Saturday with a four-hour power outage. So as long as we can avoid that kind of foolishness, I think we'll be okay, yeah. Bob.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, I'm glad you got something happening for the camera. You're looking pretty good right now. Valerie is with us. Valerie's watching the chat room because Amanda and Jeff have just moved into their new home. We're so excited for them. And we'll look forward to seeing her next week. She'll probably have pictures. I hope she has pictures, but we'll get to hear a lot about the move and see how that's going. I saw Randy's in the chat room, so I hope Randy's making his move okay, K7AGE. So we got the whole list of players happening one way or the other, and I hope that the chat room has lots of questions for Valerie. So let's go down and see Gordo. I know has some things happening, so what's happening in Costa Mesa?
Well, everything is fine in Costa Mesa. Look at this. You know the Nifty guides. Well, now they have another Nifty book, and this one's entitled The Easy Guide to Adventures in DXing from Jeff K1 Zulu November. And this is a wonderful book from Nifty. So if you're into DX or looking to learn more about how to work DX, check out the Nifty Guides. November 14th, Congress Arizona having its Heart Fest. And then Gene and Mary Ann and all of the team, November 20, 21, and 22, and that's Randy too, they'll be doing the KJI Dealer Fest in New Jersey. So fun times for all, and I hope everybody gets out and tunes in to Ham Fest. Well, this past week, I had an opportunity to tune in a radio shop, but no radio shop like you've seen before. So, Brian, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and roll the short shots. This is PowerWorks, and PowerWorks is very close to where I live here in Costa Mesa. And, you know, we've been talking about the Chinese radio, and I hear just great reports about the Wushan radios. So we got one that came in from Maine Trading, and we also compared it to one at PowerWorks. And when we toured the PowerWorks facility, I had no clue on how much they were into commercial wiring. They do their own custom wiring, and they bring in this wiring, and it gets cut right down to the inch and properly labeled and packed and heat shrunk and you name it. But let me tell you, this PowerWorks operation is not just an importer of handhelds. Emergency vehicles, communications vehicles, they've got everything. And the factory itself is so huge that this is just a portion of one of the rooms. And this is where their inventory is. PowerWorks has their own custom machine and their own custom everything that keeps these connections absolutely tight. And yep, those are gold-plated. Many of the commercial folks require that. Look at this, a first, a fused cigarette lighter receptacle. That is a receptacle with a fuse in it, not the plug, but the receptacle. Ken at PowerWorks says they wanted it, so we got it. Now, when you see a lot of aftermarket commercial stuff in the marine and aviation and land mobile field, PowerWorks may very well have something to do with it by adding components to make that particular product fly. And that's Tracy, WA6ERA, as well as Ken Marabella. And Ken, KM6YH, is showing some of the packaging, and they do everything right there at PowerWorks. Nothing goes out to get done. They do it themselves. By popular demand, you can have every type of crimp connector, all amps, gauges, and colors, and they've got them in neat new little tiny containers. And they have the new PowerWorks PD8, and it's 8-position distribution block. They've got another one similar to that that takes the larger Anderson connectors. And let me tell you, they are the king of Anderson connectors. I didn't realize that different services have different colors for Andersons. And PowerWorks has them. And when they do their own Andersons, they don't do them by hand. They do them electronically and mechanically with a machine. And boy, you feed that machine and away they go. And of course, they've got them if you like to do your own Andersons. And these are all top quality. So I was quite amazed at all the details that this one company does on getting good stuff to hams as well as the commercial field. If they say there's 100 in the package, look at this. They weigh them to make sure there's exactly 100. And I'm told, yeah, we'll put in a couple of extras. Well, they do that for the hams because you know how hams are. Well, they first came out with meters and so on for square holes. But no, the hams wanted round holes. But it's tough to do a round hole. So now they've got all the tools and all the gizmos for their meters. And there are others to fit in either square or round holes. So if you're a do-it-yourself, PowerWorks has you covered. And these are all brand new to the PowerWorks lineup. And for batteries, they're big on battery chargers and all the battery terminals and so on. And that is their battery conditioning unit. Ken at PowerWorks says that who needs a handheld antenna that does 420 to 430? So he said, let's come up with one that does 420 30 on up. So they now have their own line of dual band antennas, specifically for the many different types of PowerWorks radios that they have. This is the DB750X, a commercial Part 90 land mobile radio that covers VHF and UHF. And it's built by specifications that they absolutely insist on. And this is it, the Wushan KGUV9D. Now, a lot of different people have it, but when PowerWorks brings them in, and I mean they bring them in quantity, every unit gets taken out of the box and some very special things happen to that unit before it goes out the door to either their dealers or individual customers. Now, remember, the 9D is a ham radio. It's got Part 15 receiver type approval, and it is designed for the ham market, and it is programmable with your fingers. Imagine this, straight out of the box. And it comes with a 2,000 milliamp hour lithium battery. And PowerWorks knows whose radio is who because they've got their serial number on every single rig that leaves the place. And I brought one from Main Trading. They are good folks at Main Trading. We compared them, and they compared favorably. So there's one of our technicians. That's Martin, N6MZB. And he goes over, and he answers the phone, and he checks out, and he compares radios. And we want to make absolutely sure that all of the radios are working up to specs. And we put in the Wushan from Main Trading as well as the PowerWorks. We looked at it on the spectrum analyzer in the background. And as you can see, it is clean. No spurs. Second harmonic, well down. So this is good stuff that PowerWorks does. And we did find one anomaly between many of the radios that had come in that were not sold by PowerWorks in return. They only service what they sell. And this one was one that went into Chinese on a reprogram, and you couldn't figure out how to get it back to English. Well, PowerWorks, their radios, the new 9D, will not go into the Chinese mode no matter how hard you try. And they say that while there's a ton of software programming stuff out there, they really like, as we do, Rod and Karen's programming software for the Wushan. RT Systems really knows how to program radios. The color LCD display was great. Inside, it was a little light and a little tough to see in the bright sunlight outside. But that's just probably our California sun. But do know that a trans-reflective screen is a little tougher to see than a conventional two-tone LCD, and they've got parts. So if you have an old Wushan or a new one, they've got the parts. If it's out of warranty, they'll fix it if it was purchased from PowerWorks or one of the dealers that they supply the radios to. That's what it looks like on the inside. So when you think of PowerWorks and you think of those little Anderson connectors, here's a big one that'll start a service vehicle of hundreds of amps. Just one of the many things that PowerWorks has. So, Bob, it was fun to take a tour of PowerWorks, and they now have a great stock of the new Wushan 9D, and that's quite a radio to see inside. A little tough to see the display outside, but nonetheless, a dual-band VV, VU, UU, UV radio that really works well on the ham radio bands because it's designed as a ham radio, so you can plink away right on the front and program it yourself without needing a computer. If you're in the field and they say, let's swing over to 146.555. Whoa, you don't have it in memory? No problem with the new Wushan from PowerWorks and other dealers and distributors. So that's my story this week. Let's go back to Don. I think, Don, we've now got you on the tube. So, Don, take it away.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to be talking – thank you, Gordon. Good stuff. We're going to be talking about a new advertiser here that is a problem that I know that we all have. It's not radio-related, but it is health-related. If you take a bunch of medications, or even if you don't, I used to take a ton of medications, but since the gastric bypass surgery and losing all this weight, I don't take a bunch of prescription meds, but I do take a bunch of vitamins. And so this works just as well for vitamins. Like this is just here. This box. This is what was on my kitchen counter. Okay, that's kind of 1, 2, 3, 4. These are big. Look at this. These are nothing but vitamins. Okay, now that takes up so much room on the counter, and there's a way to get around that, and that's these things here. But this isn't any better because you got to refill them every week. And say maybe you've got some arthritis or something, you're having a hard time with your bottles, or there's just so many, you got to color code them or whatever. Well, there's a solution, and it's called PillPack. These problems will be no more because PillPack gives you individual packaged daily doses. Look at this. These are multivitamins. There is a Wednesday morning, a Wednesday noon, and a Wednesday evening. And this is clear in the back, so you can see exactly what it is, and it tells you exactly what it is on here. They are pre-sorted, and it comes in this great box. This sits on your counter, and you just pull it up, rip off what you need. It's very easy to open it. And then even on the back, now, this is the sample that they gave me, so it doesn't have my name on it, but if you order from them, it will be your name. But on the back are pictures and tell you what they are and what the dosage is. This takes all the worry and all the fret out of everything. Now, and they're easy to tear packets. Serrated on one side, you just do, here. Let me show you. Now, again, these are just multivitamins. So let me show you how easy this is to open. There you go. That's it.
Whoa.
It's open. It's open. You pop them out, and let's see. I'll crack my vitamin right here where I'm at. All right. There we go. I'm feeling better already. And so that was the morning vitamin I didn't take, but here's some afternoon and some evening vitamins. But this is great stuff because no Monday through Sunday pill box. Everything you need is in the pill pack, and they will proactively call your doctor for you. Again, it's an online pharmacy. You can get all your scripts moved over. They will manage all your refills. You never run out, never having to chase them down at the last minute, call your doctor to get a refill. It's all taken care of. They deliver your meds directly to you for free. Pharmacists are available 24/7 from the privacy of your own home, and they use robots to package this stuff. Robots and digital imaging. You can see there on the video. It's a slick deal. It really is. The accuracy is insured. There's no extra cost beyond what your standard copay is for your meds. Shipping is always free. Most insurance plans, including Medicare Part D, switching over is ultra easy. Takes about 5 minutes on the secure site. They take care of everything. They're one of Time's top 25 inventions of 2014. They got a great review in PC Magazine. There's a PillPack medication reminder app for your iPhone and your Apple Watch as well. So if you take any kind of prescription meds or even just over-the-counter vitamins, they've got a ton of over-the-counter stuff as well, you really need to check out PillPack. Go to pillpack.com/twit. That's P-I-L-L. P-A-C-K, just like it sounds, pillpack.com/twit. Sign up. When you use the link there to transfer your prescriptions to PillPack, you get a $20 credit, a credit for $20 worth of vitamins and over-the-counters. That's a heck of a deal. pillpack.com/T-W-I-T. I know you can use this service. I can use this service. Anybody can use this service, and it is amazing. You're gonna be astounded by the service that you get from PillPack. PillPack.com/twit for $20 worth of vitamins and OTCs. Thank you so much for coming on board, PillPack. We appreciate you. I think I'm pretty much going to be giving a call to these folks and getting my scripts switched over because this is just amazing. We've got some good stuff in the news tonight, so why don't we go ahead and check in with Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1983, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 4th, 2015. Amateur radio operators in India are preparing to step in quickly to provide help across the ravaged landscape of northeastern Afghanistan, which suffered a deadly 7.5 magnitude earthquake Monday, October 26th. The tremors were so strong, in fact, they rumbled across Pakistan and North India as well. The team of experienced rescue operators from the West Bengal Radio Club is the same group to provide critical support during operations after last spring's quake in Nepal. Ambarish Nag Biswas, the West Bengal's club secretary, tells one newspaper in India, quote, "Communication is key to running rescue operations, but in such cases, cell phone networks and services collapse. Our job is to set up a parallel network," end quote. As of Wednesday, October 28th, the amateurs were awaiting the official okay from the Indian government before departing for Kabul. Amateur communications also played a paramount role when the most powerful storm ever to hit the Western Hemisphere struck the Pacific coast of Mexico a week ago.
Amateur radio frequencies are back to normal, although it will take a while to recover from the flooding, downed trees, and other damage Hurricane Patricia inflicted last week in western Mexico. Mexico's Amateur Radio Association, FMRE, reported on Monday, October 26th, that the nation's emergency net frequencies, including 7.060 megahertz, were finally clear of traffic that responded to the weekend's Category 5 hurricane. Mexico's national emergency net was activated as Patricia approached land, and winds ripped through the country at close to 200 miles an hour. The hurricane coincided with an already intense time on the HF bands as the CQ Worldwide SSB DX contest was getting underway. That prompted a plea from the International Amateur Radio Union on Friday, October 23rd, for hams to keep the emergency frequency open and prepare as well to clear additional frequencies on both 40 and 80 meters if needed. The National Hurricane Center in Miami had called the storm potentially catastrophic. It was finally downgraded on Saturday, October 24th. By Monday, October 26th, storm-induced downpours had begun drenching much of the Gulf Coast region and the South as the now weakened weather system made its way east. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW, reporting.
Desecheo Island, 14 miles off the coast of Puerto Rico, has held a long-standing spot on Radio Amateur's list of Most Wanted DX. Part of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's National Wildlife Refuge System, the island known to amateurs as KP-5 has been a notable part of the KP-1-5 project's successful de-expeditions for years. Now it seems the island is also most wanted by the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. According to a published report, Puerto Rico's House of Representatives has approved two measures requesting the island's release from United States jurisdiction. The news of the vote was reported in the October 26th edition of the Puerto Rican newspaper El Nuevo Día. Hernandez Lopez's remarks to fellow lawmakers translated in the newspaper's online story say in part, quote, "Our desire is to provide the additional space in the western area for sightseeing, environmental tourism that allows people to enjoy the natural attractions." The measures were approved in the House 27-21. Puerto Rico Senate will not consider the matter. As for the world's DXers, they'll be listening too. A collective of groups and individuals specializing in helping American Indians, Alaskan Natives, and other tribal people through disasters and emergencies is meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The focus will be sharing tools, techniques, and tactics to help respond to and manage a crisis. The organization is called the Tribal Assistance Coordination Group, and while the A in its name stands for assistance, on Thursday, November 5th, it will also stand for amateur radio. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5-CXP, is our man in the Sooner State.
It takes more than 45 minutes to explain why amateur radio is such a critical tool when disaster strikes and communication networks are down. But Lloyd Colston, KC5FM, the ARRL's Oklahoma section manager, is more than up to the task. His 45-minute talk at the National Tribal Assistance Coordination Group workshop in Tulsa will cover all the essentials. Amateur radio will share the spotlight at the wide-ranging conference with other emergency responders, including the Red Cross, FEMA, FirstNet, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Oklahoma Intertribal Emergency Management Council. Steve Sid Caesar, NH7C, the chief of the Division of Emergency Management in the Bureau of Indian Affairs, told Amateur Radio Newsline that amateur radio already enjoys an established presence at these national workshops, but its role has largely been showcased through informal meetings and on-site tabletop exercises. Colston's talk on Thursday, November 5th, constitutes the first official, formal amateur radio presentation at the National Workshop. We hope that the outreach to tribes will increase the number of amateur radio operators in tribal communities, making for safer and better prepared tribal communities. That's certainly making the most of 45 minutes.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Dameron, N8TMW, Mike Askins, KE5CXP, and Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And this is normally the time where I say, and now let's go to check the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove, which is normally on video. We have her live tonight. We're trying to get her back on Skype. So I tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and we'll talk about DX engineering And then we'll come back and see if we have Dr. T. So let's do that. Punting here, just to get everything, make sure we get everything on here, because we really want to get Dr. T on here. Contest season. Yeah, it is that time. And, you know, you need good gear to be competitive. And DX Engineering has long been your supplier for the most trusted, go-to, serious DX stuff. And if you want to get started in HF, they're your go-to place for practically anything, whether you're a rank beginner to a grizzled old veteran like Bob. Did I say that? I meant Gordo. Gordo's more grizzled than Bob. I should probably just continue with the script. Get prepared now before contest season really gets underway and the weather's still nice. Some of the latest products that DX Engineering has to get you all cranked up is the ICOM 7600. Oh my, this is the radio that I have, and I love this thing. It is has amazing performance, gives you a killer advantage for both contesting and DXing. This thing has a receiver like you would not believe. Advanced RF design, exceptional dynamic range, three selectable roofing filters, fully adjustable IF filters let you pull in the weak contacts. This thing, first time I really got serious with it was on field day, and it was amazing. Advanced performance makes it the choice for casual rag shoes or serious DXing and contesting as well. 7600 covers HF and 6 meters, and you're going to love the scope on that thing. Now, there is an update to the RPA-1 Receive Preamplifier Series. It's called the RPA Plus. Low-noise preamps available. They're better than most radio front ends. I looked at this when I was there a few weeks ago. It's an amazing little box. Advanced push-pull design eliminates harmonic distortion. A high quiescent control keeps the preamps handling the strong signals without overloading. Optimized for the entire 300 kilohertz to 35 megahertz frequency range. Best possible results on HF, low band, shortwave listening, AM DXing, superior dynamic range, third order intercept performance. And it can be used with a DX Engineering receive antenna system. They offer superior receiving results even on crowded bands. They have both F and B and C connectors in the Plus model. An on-off switch, LED indicator, a redesigned DC input jack for a secure connection. You're going to love that. And, of course, the dual vertical arrays, two-element vertical phasing systems that give you exceptional HF performance. They call it the DVA. It's a revolutionary design, eliminates the waste load port found on older systems for a dramatic increase in two-element array efficiency. They give you a full legal limit handling with a front-to-back of over 20 dB and a deep rear null. You can also see up to 3 dB of gain compared to a single vertical. They're available for 160, 80, and 40. I want you to check out DX Engineering for everything ham radio you need. They ship faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your ground shipping in, the order in by 10 o'clock Eastern time, Monday through Friday. That's 10 p.m. And it's in stock. It'll be on a truck headed your way that day. Proven products, expert advice. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. It's not just a slogan. It's true. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. I got an email today, as a matter of fact, from someone who said, hey, I ordered a catalog from DX Engineering, and they sent me the old one. I called them right back, and they sent me the new one. It came really, really fast, and I'm waiting on my license to come in. But as soon as I get my license in, I am ordering stuff from DX Engineering. Just out of the blue, got that email. You'll be just as happy. I know I am. Just great people, great products. And the expertise that they have is unparalleled. DXEngineering.com/HamNation. Let's see if we've got Dr. Tamitha Scove back with us. Brian, do we have Dr. T? But there she is. Look at this. Hi, you're guys. Live. You're not Memorex tonight. It's so nice to have you on here.
My goodness. No kidding, huh? I better get it right. I'll be in trouble if I don't do that, huh?
Oh, you'll be fine. No, so we want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on. But first, let's see what's going on with the sun, because it is kind of been kicking up lately, hasn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yes. We have been having a fantastic week, at least those of us who love this kind of thing. The sun has just finished giving the ham radio bands a thrashing. I'm sure you guys are still struggling a little bit to get on the bands. They're just beginning to clear up as of today. We've been getting some wind from this fast coronal hole, or this dark coronal hole you see right here. We get some fast wind from that. That has now moved off to the west limb. So we are now beginning to see cooler, calmer wind, slower wind. So the bands should be recovering about now. But I hate to tell you, we're going to be in store for yet a second blow, because this little guy, this is region 2443, it gives us a huge flare, bam, right there. You could see that. Hopefully you can see that. I'll show you actually in a different color here that actually shows the fire of the flare better. This is the temperature of the sun that gives us all the hot stuff. So you'll see this thing fire off, not like that. We've got a couple firers there, but then this guy goes off big time right here. Bam, you see that? That was only a 3.7 class flare, not really big, but it had a huge radio burst involved with that. This thing was so bad, that not only did it give you a complete radio blackout, if you guys were paying attention around 1400 Zulu time today, but it also was such a big radio burst that it, between this and the solar storm that we've just gotten over, it shut down all of the airline flights for the Swedish country. It basically knocked out the entire radar for all of the airline flights. They're just beginning to get the stuff back online. I've talked to several people who were grounded basically all day because they couldn't get an airline flight because they had no radar that was working. So this guy has really kicked up. He was kind of snoozing before, but now he's really kicked up. And he has also sent us a solar storm, and I'll get to that just in just a second. Actually, I'll get to that right now. Let me switch to my... Okay, this is our prediction model, ENLIL. This is NASA's version of the model. And what you're looking at is you're looking at a density plot staring down at the north pole of the sun. So the white here is north pole. That's the sun. Here's the north pole of the Earth. And if you look at this slice right here, this is the north pole of the sun is up top. The north pole of the Earth is up top. The south pole's down here. So this is kind of, this view is kind of a cut right through the middle right here. And you see this huge blob of plasma that's popping out? This blob of plasma is that huge solar storm, and it's going to hit us right between the eyes. This is slated to hit us, the solar storm slated to hit us basically about midday on the 7th. It most likely will be a little bit later than that, so probably expect late on the 7th into the 8th, and most likely it's going to be yet another huge storm, so expect that the ham bands are probably going to be tanking once again. And let me switch quickly to give you guys an idea of what's going on. We have our M-flare threat meter. You can see with the M-flares, we've had a few pops here and there, and then finally this big eruptive flare back here. This was the M3.7 flare. This is the one that gave us that radio burst and that solar storm that we're looking at. So we do expect to see a few more of those, but most likely we probably won't see another one quite that intense. If I switch to our solar storm levels, you can see there's that where that solar storm hit. We had back on November 2nd, we had a little bit of a jolt from some mini solar storms that hit us, but when that fast wind hit us, this is what caused the ham bands to go down, and guys, expect that this is probably going to happen again. You'll get maybe one day, maybe 2 days, the 5th and the 6th, you'll get a little bit of a respite, and then things will start tanking again. So I'm going to put up my 5 days really fast so you guys can see this. I'm going to zoom in a little bit because I don't know if you guys can read this super well. So this is looking at solar storm and aurora conditions over the coming week. You can see there's not a lot of green on this map. So basically, we're kind of coming down at high latitudes. We're coming down from the coronal hole that we just got slammed with. We're going to have maybe one good day on the 6th of decent weather at high latitudes. But then on the 7th, that big storm hits. We're going to have at least a 55% chance of a major storm at high latitudes, maybe even higher, especially on the 8th, probably a 60% or more. And then that may carry in into the 9th. So your whole weekend is probably going to be trashed. I hate to say that. Even at mid-latitudes, we're still not seeing a lot of green. The effects will be a little bit lower, but still we're expecting minor storms over the weekend. So that means the ham bands are probably going to look pretty bad over that course of time. Now, switching to the flare, the particle radiation and flare forecast for the next few days, because of region 2443, we are looking at about a 65% chance of an M-class flare. That's what NOAA is giving us right now. They're expecting that it's going to calm down to about a 60% chance of an M-class flare over the next few days because region 2445 is disappearing off the west limb. It has given us just a few little pops of M-flares here and there. But meanwhile, we have to deal with region 2443 for the rest of the week, and we do have a slight chance of an X-class flare. We also have a chance, about a 15% chance for a particle radiation storm. We're in the clear right now, but we do have that risk, and that risk will continue to increase as we as that region 2443 moves away from center disk and moves into or onto the west limb, because we have a much better connection, at the West Limb to get these particle storms. If we have a particle storm, that will definitely cause issues for the ham bands, especially at high latitudes, and you will not be able to get anything on them. So it's a pretty active week, and guys, stay tuned. I hope you're not doing a lot of contesting this weekend, because there's a very good chance you're not going to get many contacts.
Yeah, the big contest were the last couple of weekends, and so there we go. So nice to have you on here live. Will you be able to hang out towards the end of the show to take chat room questions? I know that the chat room is probably just going ape right now. Are you going to be able to hang out till the end of the show?
Sure, I'll do what I can.
Awesome, yeah, chat room, send your questions in. Bob, we'll turn it back over to you. Thanks, Dr. T.
That was so great, and glad to have you, Dr. It's just great to have you live. So I hope we can have a lot more of this. You know, we all get really excited about new gear and getting all this stuff from DX Engineering and all this. I got one today, and I'm really excited. It's a Fillmore analyzer. This is probably 1958, and it's amazing. It's like brand new. Instruction seeds, and instruction is so important. But what is it? It was one of the first SWR meters, but it's not only just for standing waves. We can monitor our AM signal, and it has a field strength meter in it with a little antenna, so you can find out where you have some stray RF maybe, but at least you know you have RF. I'm really excited to get back home in Springfield and get this all fired up, because you can hear your own signal. Plug in the headphones and away you go. Is that cool or what? I know the chat room's probably going, hey, tell this old geezer to go away. Well, it's that kind of thing that fires me up, all that good old stuff, because that good old stuff is what is the basis of builds the new stuff. And talking about building, we're going to run through some things pretty quickly here about Heathkit. There's been a lot of rumors about Heathkit, up and down, yes and no. But the truth is, Heathkit is back. No, you're not going to get the big SB220s and all this stuff that they did. But they're starting out slow, just as they did. Now, if we had a little trivia contest and I said, how did they start? Check this out. Here's their first ad. This is back in 1912. Their first ad from a guy by the name of Edward Heath will put up that first slide, and you will note, wait a minute, the Heath Aircraft Company. Is that cool? Yes. Edward Heath started by building kits for airplanes. And this was a big deal back then. People could build their own airplane because, hey, aircraft was new. And unfortunately, he died in an aircraft crash in 31. Howard Anthony picked up the company, and he focused on surplus electronics. This was cool because after World War II, a tremendous amount of surplus electronics was out there. And this was his first Heath kit. It was an oscilloscope. And this really kicked it off for him, the 01 scope. That was the first one. Then he got into various types of test gear. And again, these were all built from surplus parts that he got from the surplus vendors. And it was really nice stuff. And can you believe it? In 1954, Howard was killed in an airplane crash himself. The company continued. There's probably one of the first really good things they built in ham radio. That's an AT1 transmitter, novice transmitter. Then they came up with what we call the it was a Benton Harbor lunchbox, the twoer, the sixer, and the tenor. And then he came up with the DX60. What a great piece that was! And the people that took over after Howard died in the crash built some incredible stuff. The DX100 is still a mainstay on the airwaves today. It was beautiful stuff. This was a Collins copy. I always called it the poor man's Collins, but it really was a performer. very, very good stuff. And I hear a lot of people, oh, this stuff's junk. No, it wasn't. They got into building televisions. You could buy this in the store or have it shipped to you and build your own color TV. They got together with Thomas Organ, and they built an organ. You could have an organ in your home. But I think one of the most popular things they built were the Linears. The SB220 is just an incredible thing. But I have to give them credit. Their manuals were exquisite. It was so simple. Do this. Here's the way to do it. Their diagrams, their drawings, all of this stuff was wonderful. But here's their new product. It's a receiver, a shortwave receiver, and this is coming along really nicely, I understand. But if you'll go to their website, you'll find out that you can buy this kit and a lot of parts. So for a lot of us that build, we finally have a place we can buy parts. So look it up. Heath's got a great website, and keep a watch on them, because there's going to be some real neat things coming down the line from Heath Kit. And as I said, it's not going to be what it was when it went out of business. But as you can see there, they got a lot of parts and pages of things. So go check it out and have some fun with Heath Kit. Unfortunately, the major company died in 2008, and they've been trying to resurrect it. And by golly, this new group has done it. So you want to check it out and see what's going on. Get your soldering irons fired up. Maybe we can get some things in here and let George take us through the new Heath Kit. But just wanted to bring you up to date on what was going on with Heath Kit. I grew up with Heath Kit. You know who else grew up with Heath Kit? Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs had said in several interviews I heard that it was Heath Kit that got him inspired when he was a youngster. Well, so many of you watching this program that are amateur radio operators and been around for a while, you also shared that great enthusiastic feeling. And that's what Heath Kit was all about for me. It was the fact that you had this box of parts, and when you put it together, it worked. And you could talk to somebody or you could hear somebody. And it was that energy that just still is in my blood from the things that happened in the early days of building a lot of Heath Kit, as well as designing your own and having fun. And I do hope that you get to enjoy that part of ham radio also. Well, we will keep you posted as things progress, because Heath Kit is really here to make a statement. So we're happy about that. But we're going to go up and see what's going on in the wonderful world of DX. And here's the queen. How are you, Valerie? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, Bob. It's been a while since we've been on together like this. But it's good to have the old gang back again. Hopefully next week Amanda will be with us. But hey, 2 weeks ago I did a thing on receiving antennas, so I thought it might be fun to let you listen to the difference. It's the signal sounds. If you listen on an 80-meter signal using just a simple dipole that we have here versus one of our beverages. So, I mean, big difference you can see there. You couldn't even hear that Serbian station when we were listening off the dipole. So if you have the space to put up a beverage, by all means, I highly recommend it. And one of our viewers did offer this great suggestion. If you are going to put a beverage up and you are in deer country or snowmobile territory, make sure your beverages are high enough for them to get underneath. You don't want them running into those wires. So good luck out there with your beverages. We just had CQ Worldwide Sideband. And here on the farm, we did a multi-single operation, which was multiple operators with one radio. There were five of us. And a couple of our operators came in from other states, including one from the great state of Washington. And he just so happens to be a big-time de-expeditioner. So I had the pleasure of interviewing him.
I am joined today with Mike Moraz, November 6th, Mike Zulu. Now, Mike is a big-time de-expeditioner, and he happened to be in town this week. He's one of the operators that we're all doing a multi-op here for CQ Worldwide Sideband, so I thought I'd interview him real quick. Now, Mike first got licensed at the age of 11, but he didn't start DXing until about 20 years later. And he's operated from about 25 DX entities, 13 of which were DXpeditions, and 7 of those won DXpedition of the Year. Welcome aboard, Mike.
Thanks, Val. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Now, I know you went to Ohio State.
Yes, I did.
And you were able to study under Dr. John Krause, a Whiskey 8 Juliet Kilo. So, who's best
known call sign
for his antenna designs, right?
I think he started designing antennas when he was a kid.
So, tell us about that. What was it like working under him?
Thanks to a friend of mine, Bob, who's now Kilo 7 Zulu Bravo, I became aware of an opportunity with Dr. Krause to work at the Radio Observatory at Ohio State. At the time, one of the largest radio telescopes in the world. And they were transitioning from an all-sky survey of quasars and objects such as that to searching for extraterrestrial signals.
SETI, I remember SETI.
It became SETI. This is very early in the SETI days. And Dr. Krause and company needed some signal processing equipment to break their 30 megahertz bandwidth up into smaller segments for the then state-of-the-art IBM 1130 computer to analyze the data. So I was fortunate to work with Dr. Krause and my friend Bob and designed a little detector. I think at the time we built 100 channels, and later it was expanded to I don't know, hundreds or maybe 1,000. Anyway.
To help detect signals?
Exactly. It was basically to narrow the bandwidth of the radio telescope, because if you're looking for a signal from another civilization, it would probably be CW. So we built the equipment, installed it in the telescope, and, you know, I was busy graduating and going on to my, you know, career, and found out later that a signal came into the feed horn, and they had a protocol. It passed the protocol, and it looked like it was the first candidate in history for an extraterrestrial signal. And the researcher, Dr. Amon, the output of this detector was a printout. And he wrote WOW in the margin of the printout that became known as the WOW signal.
I've heard of the WOW signals. Probably some of you guys have, too. Well, that's very cool.
So for years and years, I was paranoid that it was a cold solder joint on one of the boards I had hand-built.
But it's anyway. Not.
No, and it never recurred, and so it's who knows what it was. There's a lot of guesses, but
very nice.
What an experience.
Well, 13 de-expeditions, that's a lot of de-expeditions, and I know your first biggie. I'm going to put up here a list of all his de-expeditions, and if they have a gold star, that means they won de-expedition of the year. But I know your second de-expedition, which was your first big one, Heard Island. How did you get on a big de-expedition so early in your DX?
That was interesting, because the team led by K0IR had attempted to activate Heard in 1995, and they paid a huge sum of money to a scam artist basically in Australia who said he had a ship, but he didn't.
Oh.
So they had to regroup and look for new transportation.
Did they get their money back?
No. Oh. No. So in the meantime, email went out on some DX reflector. We're short one operator for VK0IR. So I quickly replied and I said, well, I haven't done a DX expedition, but, you know, I've done a little contesting and blah, blah, blah. I never expected them to invite me, but they did. And it turned out to be a very life-changing experience.
Well, that's in a brutal part of the world. And I noticed some of your others, like Kerguelen. I mean, you did Scarborough Reef. I mean, that's a bunch of rocks just bubbling out of the ocean, as all that is, with some scaffolding.
Yes,
so you're going to have to tell us about that. I mean, when you get there, that's all it is rocks, and you guys create the scaffolding from scratch there?
Yes. So we pulled in at low tide, and there were thousands of rocks sticking out of the water at this reef. And then at high tide, there were 4 remaining. So we had a carpenter from Taiwan who was unbelievable. And within a day or two, he had platforms built completely on the rock so that there was no controversy about scaffolding in the water.
Have you had any close calls? I mean, Kerguelen, that was kind of an unruly part of the world. Any close calls have you had on all these de-expeditions you've been on?
Kerguelen and Heard are similar in weather, except there's a human outpost on Kerguelen. There's nothing on Heard but penguins and seals and wind. But I guess the closest call would have been on Scarborough, because we usually went out right around sunset. We made the shift change around sunset and sunrise, so we were out there overnight, 12 hours. And James 91YC and I had gone out to operate on Rock 4, the big rock. And sometime 11, 12 in the evening, midnight local time, the waves started to kick up. I think the closest real landmass, is Manila, Philippines, which is a whole day sail. So we're in the middle of nowhere, and the boat is a half mile away that way. And the waves get big, and one wave breaks over top of our little box that we had the rig sheltered in. So we're covered with salt water. The charger for the handheld went, and the handheld discharged. The wind got higher, and the waves got higher. One of the waves came up underneath the floor of the platform on which we were sitting, and the whole platform jumped. And at that point, I grabbed the two life vests, and I handed one to James, who was operating CW. And I put mine on. I said, here, put this on. We're probably going swimming tonight. And in the meantime, I had watched the stars, and I knew which direction the boat was in if we couldn't see it, and we had to swim. So we knew which way to swim. It would have, you know, the water temperature was 85 or 86. So we weren't going hypothermic. But my biggest concern was if the platform, because it was, you know, wire you use for MIG welding, that lightweight aluminum MIG wire, that's how he wired the platforms to the rock to hold them. So if the wire let go, I was worried that we'd go over backwards and the amplifier would come onto my chest in the water. The waves subsided, and we spent the whole night out there, operated and had fun. And
which one out of all these de-expeditions do you think was your favorite one?
You know, I'd say they all had what I look for in these trips, which I probably shouldn't say this in public, but it's not being on the radio. It's the camaraderie and, you know, going to these weird places with old friends and the opportunity to make new friends. But just from sheer unbelievableness, it would have to be Heard Island. I think it's the closest you could experience another planet without leaving the Earth. I mean, it truly was another planet. It was so unusual and so beautiful and so brutal. I mean, the weather is infamous. It changes.
Now, anything on the horizon coming on that you can tell us about?
I think I'm old and crotchety and nobody invites me anymore. No, Val, I don't have anything that I can talk about, unfortunately, but hopefully.
Well, thanks for joining us here today, Mike Mraz, N6, Mike Zulu.
Thanks.
And, you know, that's my favorite part when we have these multi-ops and we get all these de-expeditioners or when we go to HamFest. They have such good stories from these adventures. This is on my bucket list, definitely, to go on one of these remote islands just for the adventure and all these stories. But it's fall, and you know what that means? A lot of good DX, a lot of good contests. Here's the top four DX going on right now. First one, Vietnam. That's going to be going on through the 10th, so you have just a little less than a week to work Vietnam. Also, Micronesia, they're going on now up until the 9th, so only 5 more days if you need Micronesia. Also, we have Vanuatu, that's coming up, that's now through the 16th. So get out there and work that de-expedition, as well as Kenya. Kenya's on the air right now through the 18th. Like I said, there's a lot more DX out there. Too much. I don't have enough time to show you all the DX, but if you ever want to know which DX is coming up or going on now, a good resource is DX World. I get a lot of my information from there. DX Coffee is another source. I also subscribe to the Daily DX Report, and every morning in my inbox, I get a full comprehensive report of everything that's going on now, coming up, including IOTA. So contest, couple big ones this weekend. Sweepstakes CW is this weekend, and that's the one with the really long exchange. So if you're up for the task, good luck in that one. Also, Worked All Europe Ritty is on this weekend. And again, a lot more contests this weekend, too many to name. If you ever want to know what contests are coming up, if you go to Whiskey Alpha 7 Bravo November Mike's contest calendar, it's always up to date with every single contest. You can click a link to that if you go to my QRZ page as well. So that's all I've got for DX Singing and Contesting tonight. But I will be back in the chat room. Make sure you send me your questions because we got Dr. T on tonight. So I'm going to kind of focus that way. And George is back with us tonight in the chat room. So if you have some questions for George, I know he's been out for a few weeks. So give me those. And right now I'm going to pass it over to our long-lost stranger, George.
Val and everyone else, good to be back with you tonight. Boy, about 3 weeks here, I've been struggling around with extremely slow internet, but I'm living large at 103 megabits per second tonight. So I'm feeling much better now. And, well, we'll come back and talk about what my problem was in a moment. But first, let's get a message from ICOM, and then I'll tell you about this.
Over the hills and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. For those long holiday trips, let your ICOM radio help you enjoy your travels. Take ICOM's IC7100 D-Star radio with you this season. This radio offers an angled control head and touchscreen for easy mobile operation, a large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multi-band and all-mode communications. Interested in easy hands-free operation while you hit the road? ICOM's analog IC2730A mobile and the digital ID5100A both feature optional Bluetooth capability, a large backlit screen for high contrast viewing, and 50 watts output power on both VHF and UHF. For entry-level D-Star operation, check out the ID880H. Features include VHF-UHF dual-band functionality, one band at a time, good menu structure and easy programming, and fast multiple scanning for maximum reception. Looking for a compact, rugged, and user-friendly radio on 2 meters? The IC2300H has a large, bright alphanumeric display with three backlight options, oversized tuning dial for easy operation while on road, and 65 watts of stable output power. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's mobile radio selection.
And you may remember me talking, well, it wasn't last week because I wasn't here because I just didn't have the bandwidth for it. But last month we were talking about the ICOM ID880H VHF UHF digital transceiver. That's been given away now. And the lucky winner was Jock N1JI. Jock, congratulations. ICOM will be getting that out to you. You know, you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. You go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats or the monthly grand prize drawing. Jock just won that ID880H. Well, for November, we've got a really nice one here. That's going to be the ICOM ID5100A Innovative 2-meter 70 centimeters transceiver. It's got touchscreen, integrated GPS, D-Star, it's dual band, dual watch, analog and DV automatic repeater list up. It has an optional Bluetooth unit available for a wireless headset and an Android application and a whole lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation. Register to win. And also a couple of weeks ago, I asked a question. This one came from the Amateur Radio Technician's Exam. What is the term that describes a transistor's ability to amplify a signal? And your choices were A, gain, B, forward resistance, C, forward voltage drop, or D, on resistance. And our winner on that is Marty, NR3Z. And Marty says he's hoping to gain a hat. And Marty, you did. You gained a DX engineering hat by guessing A there. Gain is a term used to describe a transistor's ability to amplify a signal. Well, I've got more hats. As a matter of fact, I have a Heil Sound hat and a Heil Sound T-shirt for whoever can answer this question and whose name gets drawn, because I know more than one of you are going to know the answer to this one for sure. What is the impedance of RG6 coax? If you think you know the answer to that, send it to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win that Heil Sound hat and T-shirt. The reason I'm talking about RG6 is because of this right here. This is a short little piece. This is not the one that came out of my cable connection, but similar to it. Well, you know, I spent 3 weeks struggling with failing the internet. Just kept getting slower and slower. Finally, we got a team from Comcast out here this week. They sent two technicians and two supervisors, and they got the problem fixed. They zeroed right in on it. You've all seen these F connectors, and you probably cannot see up in here, but right there in the center, you know, you've got the center of the cable sticks up from it. Inside the dielectric of the cable, the white right there, should come right in flush inside that connector. Well, they found a couple on my setup that look like this, and you probably can't see it here, but the white dielectric is pulled down inside the connector here. It doesn't come all the way up to the edge where it should. They have a technical term for this, and that is it had sucked up. Or maybe it was sucked in. I know it sucked. You know, that's what I know about it. So anyway, that's a problem. I never would have thought that the dielectric not coming up far enough would have caused all the problems I was having. But that was it. They replaced that cable, and, boy, I'm back and feeling much better now, as I said earlier.
That lets the deadly donkey gas out. That's the problem. Let's all the deadly donkey gas out.
It does. Well, we won't get into that.
That's a technical term I heard on the Dr. Demento show years ago, the deadly donkey gas. Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know what that means, Don, but I'm sure Dr. Demento did.
I will enlighten you one day.
You might notice behind me here, my monitor that a lot of times I've got the Raspberry Pi showing something on. Well, the Raspberry Pi is showing something back there right now, but doesn't really look like the Raspi operating system, does it? Looks a little bit different. That's because I'm running Windows 10. They officially call it Windows IoT Core on the Raspberry Pi. It's a Windows operating system running on that little Pi. Now, it's a lot different. You can't just load up Word or Excel and go to operating on it. No, it doesn't work like that. It's a totally different thing, but I'm doing a little research on it this week, shooting a little video, and Tommy and I will be doing Amateur Logic this weekend, and I'm going to show you a little bit about Windows IoT Core on the Raspberry Pi. And hopefully I'm going to have a little smoke and solder back here next week. I'm not sure what it'll be. It might be something to do with this. But anyway, come check it out this weekend, live.amateurlogic.tv, Saturday at 12 noon. And at least we'll get introduced to it and kind of find out what's going on with this new version of Windows there. Anyway, Don, it's good to see you back again. And I do literally mean that, see you, because I think the last time I was here, you were unseen. You were just a voice.
I was audio only. That's right. So we're still fighting with webcam issues, but it's working good on the MacBook. So, you know, here we are.
Yeah. Oh, good deal. Well, that's all I've got for tonight. So I think maybe we ought to get Val back in here because she's got the chat room under control.
That's right.
I don't know if it's under control. It is blowing up, all right, with Dr. T in the house. I got a lot of questions for Tamitha. Dr. T, first off, K2LTE wants to know if all this solar activity that is normal.
Actually, yes, it is, especially for the declining phase of the solar cycle, which is what we're in right now. One thing that you can always tell with the solar cycle and the sun is usually have things like coronal holes that come up to the top and are at the bottom of the sun. Anytime you see them in the middle of the sun like we have right now, that usually means that we're still kind of near a solar maximum kind of configuration. But as we begin to move more towards solar minimum, you start seeing them moving further and further toward the poles. So as you can see with that coronal hole, we're still kind of in solar max. We're moving into a declining phase, but the declining phase actually causes some of this stuff to really change the sun's magnetic field. And so what's going to happen over the next 3 years is that we're still going to get pockets of really strong activity, and then things will die down for a while. And then we'll get pockets of strong activity again, and then things will die down. But this is actually, just so you know, this is actually a much weaker cycle than the previous cycles that we've had. So we're actually getting less activity, and the ham band should actually be enjoying more time of being clearer than they have been in past decades.
Very good. Also, KC9RIJ, he wanted to know if there was going to be the best time to spot any auroral activity in Wisconsin.
Oh, well, you just missed. Actually, if you end up ever going to my Twitter feed, we have several active, what I call field reporters on Twitter, and a couple of them are from Wisconsin. Jake Stelly, as a matter of fact, is a very dedicated field reporter. He just saw aurora in Wisconsin, in northwest Wisconsin, just literally yesterday and the day before. If you go to, you bring it up. If you go to photos, I think, photos and videos or tweets and replies, you can actually see, yes, you'll actually see, and I can probably do it myself here. I might actually be able to move. I don't know if I still have Twitter up. Yes, I do. So hold on 1 second. Let me go to my front page. And we actually just got written up in the Washington Post, believe it or not. So let me take a look.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Not me. This is all the work of the field reporters. This is not me. This was aurora in, let's see if I can zoom in here for you guys. Hold on. Just a second. I'm stepping on my cables. So just a second, guys. Okay, so hopefully you can see a little bit of this. That was aurora in Alberta or Edmonton, right near the airport there. Let's see if I can slide down. I've had a lot of conversations with people asking a lot of questions. This one this was in Alberta, Canada. Here's Wisconsin right here. So this is in Green Lake, so near Hartford, Wisconsin. Hopefully you can see this. This was actually with a meteor, with a fireball. This was the second day of storming that we had, and it was actually not as good as the first day. The first day was the third. This was the morning of the fourth, so that was not nearly as good. But Jake Stelly is a fantastic field reporter who does this type of thing all the time and has posted some amazing aurora. Let me actually just see if I can take a look at some of his feeds here. And we have just an amazing community. So anybody who wants to look at and see where the aurora is at any time, this is some in Ontario, for example. There's his tweet there. I'm moving through them very fast. This was in Alberta just last night. We've had it in Ontario. We've had it in all over Canada. We've had it clear down to Ohio. We've had it. I'm keep trying to see if I can find others. Here's more from Wisconsin. This is what I was trying to find. Some on November 3rd. So this is just 2 days ago. And hopefully you can see the reds. If you can't, I apologize for that. But you've got bright greens and reds. And we had pillars and everything else. So we've had aurora in Scotland. And let's see, where are some other crazy places we got it from? We had it in the UK, in Norfolk. I haven't seen any from the aurora australis, but it kind of died at that point and then came back to life as it passed back over the United States. So, anybody who is a ham operator but also loves aurora, a lot of times, you know, the ham bands are bad. Just step outside because at least there you'll have a good show with the aurora. And then when the aurora goes away, go back inside and maybe the ham bands will work again. It's one of the nice things about the whole thing.
Well, thank you so much. Great plan. George, I have one for you. Now, this one was from last week, and you weren't on, so I saved it for this one. A viewer wanted to know, what green screen software do you use?
Most of the time, I do green screen with hardware. I use a Blackmagic brand video switcher, and it has a chroma key built into it. However, when I'm doing it in software, which is not as frequent these days, but it used to be the only way I did it, I use Sony Vegas, and most of your better editing programs will allow you to do green screen. There's usually a plug-in or an effect where you can do that, but mine's generally done with hardware these days.
Oh, very good. And I guess I can ask you this one. Kilo One Juliet Hotel Sierra wanted to know, he lives on a city lot, and so he wanted to know what was the best beverage or receiving antenna he could put on his city lot besides a beam. Now, I have answers for that, but if you go ahead, if you can help him out.
Well, yeah, I think it depends on how big your lot is and what band you're wanting to receive. So that's a tough question. I don't think you could do a beverage. That would probably be kind of tough. But, if it's very tiny, you might try a magnetic loop or something. But other than that, beams are the best. But it really depends on the band as to whether or not you're going to have enough room to do a lot of different things. You might have to go with some compromise in town, which, there's stuff you can do to get on the air. It may not be the optimum, but you can get on the air.
And I have one for you, Don.
All right.
They put the Kilo Six, Tango Kilo Quebec. He wanted to know, or she, I'm not sure, you had done that interview with DX Engineering, right? You were at DX Engineering a couple weeks back. Mm-hmm. And that UHF VHF preamp on DX Engineering, they were wondering about, is that only for UHF or VHF? Or because they're wondering about an HF preamp, getting an HF preamp.
That is an HF preamp. I believe that's the one we talked about in the DX Engineering ad tonight. And unfortunately, I don't have that ad copy in front of me. Again, I dropped it down on the computer. But I believe we talked about that tonight on the DX Engineering ad. So just give them a call. Call up, go to dxengineering.com, pick up the phone, call them up, and someone will be able to help you. Absolutely. They'll tell you exactly what it is.
Very good. Also, Whiskey Alpha 5, Alpha Zulu Quebec wanted to know, is a rookie, and just wanted to know if there was a difference between Zulu and UTC, and they're exactly the same thing. They're just, people call them different things.
Different ways of saying the same UTC. Thing.
Right, exactly. Yep. And I wanted to do a shout out. Kilo 4, Sierra November Lima, or Saturday Night Live. Rich, he just got his extra, so woohoo.
Woohoo!
And his 10-year-old son just got his technician's license earlier in October. Kilo Mike 4, November X-ray Tango. So congratulations to all of those. And I guess 20 meters, they said, is pretty dead, Steve was saying, but I think 14.268. is the frequency. I'm not sure if it's open. And 7278 for 40 is what I'm seeing. And that's about all I've got. Anybody else have anything to close with this evening?
Let's see. Well, the digital nets, D-Star will be on 14 Charlie. And Echolink will be on the Dewdrop Inn at 4553. Is that it? What is the node number, George?
Node number 355800 if you're
355800. That's it. I've got this pill pack thing. I've eaten about half these vitamins, and I'm pretty cranked up. And with Dr. T on here, I just want to know, since she's a doctor, does this look infected to you?
Yeah. I think you need to get that checked out.
I will. I'll. Yes. Don't get your eye too close. You'll have to.
But there we go.
Oh, there we go. It's so good having you on here tonight, Dr. T. We're so happy about this. This is cool. This
and is George, too, after such in. A hang.
Yeah.
All of you guys, full video feed. I mean, it's such a rocking show tonight.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic.
Yep.
That definitely looks infected to me. You have some sort of a recession going on there, George.
You have a receding
something or other.
Yes, it sucked in or sucked
shrinkage.
Out. We're not sure which, but...
You're experiencing shrinkage in your cable.
That's Hoovering.
All right. Good night, everybody. Dr. T, thanks for being here live with us tonight. This was a treat.
You bet.